So the question for today, what is worship and why do we worship God? If I thought that God was like anybody else in this world who is in a high position, the center of attention, they like to be the center of attention, and they would like to be praised and adored, I would probably walk out of here because I don't like that very much. But then when Jesus walked on earth, it was the last thing that he would do to require or demand any applause or any kind of reward for anything he has done. It just flew out of his heart, everything he has done. It's who he is. But he never really demanded anything like worship or praise, even though it came to him out of gratitude for what he has done. And in this world, I don't know, you don't want to be right in the center of the parliament now with all the things that are happening, but you, as the person, are at the center of all things. You are the center of attention. Maybe nice, maybe very unpleasant, but that's how it is. Fortunately for me, in this situation, I'm standing here in front of you, but it's a slightly different situation because it's not like in this world, with the principles of this world that drives this world in the church, God is at the center of attention, always. So, in everything we say, everything we do, we need to direct people away from ourselves, God Himself. And so, I can quite happily and comfortably do what I need to, because it's not about me, it's about somebody else. And what is worship? Why do we worship? Do we know? How do we know that? We worship God, we've never seen Him. We've never seen Him. How do we know what, or how, where, when? What is worship? How do we know why? Why do we worship Him? It's all very mysterious for us because He is not here for us to see. He is here to His Spirit, but we can't really see Him. But there are creatures that are out there that can see God Himself, creatures surrounding God's throne, and they see Him and they praise Him. And it's described in a wonderful way in the book of Revelation. And I suppose that's the reference point for us to learn from the creatures that can see God and they're in His presence and they worship Him. The book gives us some reasons for what they do and why they do it. So I'll read the text from Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, verses 17 and 18. This is the vision of heaven and God's throne and the creatures surrounding God's throne. Revelation 11, 17 and 18. Saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." Now, in this statement where God is described as the one who is, and the one who was, and the one who is to come, there are three aspects of His person that are really described in greater detail, and they're related to the three things that God has done for us and will do for us, and these are the reasons that the creatures in heavenly courts worship God, and so should we. The God who was and who is and who is to come, what does this refer to? The first reason for worshiping God is given to us in Revelation 4, which is the vision again of the heavenly throne and masses surrounding the heavenly throne. And in chapter 4, again, verse 8 states something similar. Chapter 4, verse 8. The four living creatures, and each having six wings, were full of eyes around them within, and they did not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, and who is, and who is to come. Who was, and who is to come. Perhaps that's why they use the word holy three times, referring to three aspects of what God does. And then, verse 10 and 11, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So the reason, the first reason they worship God in the heavenly courts is because he created all things. You created all things, and by your will they all exist and are created. And this really refers to, in that phrase, the God who was and is to come. It refers to the first part of the phrase, God who was. It takes us back to the past. And he was there at the very beginning. He was at the beginning when he created all things. Well, there are things we could do today. We could go shopping, we could decorate our house, we could do all kinds of things. And in doing these things, lots of people forget really where all these things come from. All the paintbrushes and paint, and bricks and mortar, and all the things that surround us, all the molecules and atoms, they all came out of God's hands. If he didn't create these things, we would not have them to be busy with them. And it's good for us to stop and remember that he's made all these things. The bottom line is they all belong to him by his will. All the matter exists, all the universe exists, and you and I, as creatures, made his imagery exist. Let us remember now, as all things are getting greener and greener, that there didn't have to be grass, there could have been old wasteland, or brown, or gray, or black, but God has put a beautiful carpet on the earth, the green carpet, and looks beautiful. The song of birds. Why do birds sing songs? I don't know, but God's made it in such a way that you open your window sometimes, and if you stop, if you're not too busy with the busy things of busy life, if you're able to stop, get in direct touch with God's works and what he's created, and listen to the birds. Nobody has to tell you. You don't need a preacher to tell you. You are in direct touch. There's nothing in between you and God and his works. You listen to the birds, not somebody in between you and God and his works, just directly you are there in his presence, and you can appreciate the beauty and the wonder of what he has done. So I think it's a good enough reason for us also to worship him, because of all the things that he surrounded us with and all the things that he has given. The earth gave its produce so we can eat, and even those who do not follow God, he says God is good and he gives them the rain and the sun, and we all receive food from him. And this is the first reason the creatures in heavenly realm worship God. The angels, the cherubims, the seraphs, the 24 elders, everybody. And then you move to the next part of the phrase. So the phrase is the God who was, probably referring to the creation, and who is the present time, and who is to come. Now, when you read the second phrase, he is, it's not just any, it's although it is the name of God. His name is I Am. He is, from our perspective, from his perspective, I Am. He always is. And Jesus used that name for himself also. Before Abraham was, I Am. He is. But more so, this phrase, he is, refers to actually the second great thing that God has done for us. So the first great thing he's done for us is the creation. But the second great thing for us he's done is what Jesus has done for us. He became human being and suffered and died for us and came back to life. And very early in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, "Behold, I was dead and I am alive again. I am." So when it says who is right now, it refers really to him being dead and he is alive again. It's the second reason for us to worship him, and this is in Revelation chapter 5. Again, all the creatures, we can see them gathered. Chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy.'" So this is another reason now. You're really worthy. So this is a recognition. "To take the scroll and to open its seals." Why? So this is the second reason now. "Because," or "for, you were slain." Lamb who was slain. "And have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." I can continue reading. "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them is 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying in a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" So this is the second reason. In chapter 4, the heavenly creatures tell us, "You are worthy of our worship because you created all things." In chapter 5, it says, "You are worthy of our worship because you were slain and you have redeemed us." So these two things refer to God, as the angels use that phrase, the one who was and who is and who is to come. The three great things God does for us. Two have already been completed, the creation and salvation on the cross. But there is one more element, the third element. The God who was, who is, was dead and is alive again, referring to Christ or the Lamb, and yet we have something else. But before we move on to that, should we be grateful for what Christ has done for us? The Lamb who was slain?
Yes.
Doesn't seem to make too much difference in today's world, does it? Because people can see only what people can see. But if you understand the spiritual realm, you can pull the curtains apart and see what is really going on in this world. Well, the Bible describes our state of sinners, being dead in sins. What Christ has done for us, Paul says, he's made us alive again through what he has done. He has resuscitated us. He didn't have to do this. There was no... It was the choice that he's made. Nobody forced him to do that. Nobody's forced him to do that. There's no force, there's no element. Element of force has got no place in God's kingdom. There's something else driving God to do what he does. We talked about the law in society. Well, it's the force thing, isn't it? It's to be gentle and kind. But in God's kingdom, from his point of view, there are the different rules, not even rules, different motives, different powers, energies that flow from his heart, his mind, his being, that make him do what he does. To make him put himself first. To make him sacrifice his own life rather than somebody else's life, which is the principle of this world. You step on other people to get what you want. And he didn't have to do this. Frankly, I have no idea what would have happened if he didn't do that with humankind. I really doubt that he would still be here. And if he was still here, the world, as bad as it is, probably would have been in much, 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 much more horrible place than it is. So, what he has done for us, he has resuscitated us on the cross as he's resurrected. He has given us new life as a humankind. And this is the second reason for us to worship God. Because of the things that he has done for us, the real things, big things, there are just three of them really. The creation, the cross, resurrection, and then God who is to come, the second coming of Christ. Though he's resuscitated us through what he has done for us on the cross and through resurrection, though resuscitated, we're still in hospital. We're still in the bed, finding it difficult to move, to breathe, to do anything. We're on life support. We're in this temporary state of, you know, hanging on a thread, being alive, as it so appears. And really, though the two things have passed, the creation and the cross, they're behind us. There is one more thing left that is still in the future. And the way the Bible describes it, really in chapter 11, let me read that again. This is written from the future vantage point, standpoint. Chapter 11, verse 17. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Now, we are talking about the time here when Jesus actually has come and he has taken the possession of this world and he has become the king of this world, which has not happened yet. So this is an image from the future standpoint, where we see the heavenly creatures worshiping God for what he is about to do, but from our perspective, that's definitely not happened yet. So why does he need to do this then? He's created all things, the God who was, and the big mess came around, and then he came to save us, and he saved us, but why does he need to do anything else if he saved us? That is the question, isn't it? We believe we are accepted by God and forgiven, yet we still suffer from the effects of sin and disease and death. And aren't these things that he has come to destroy? We're still struggling on our journey to the promised land. Sometimes some people tell me we need to pray more, and if we pray more, things will get better and problems will be solved. And some people tell me just keep praying more and more and everything will be well. But then I'm thinking, and then in the same breath, people complain to me about all kinds of things. I'm thinking, well, if you really believe that prayer is going to solve all the problems, well, why are you talking to me then? If you really believe that genuinely, you would be talking to me, you would be talking to God, and he would be solving all your problems. Yeah? But that's obviously not happening. So prayer does solve some problems, but not all problems. And as far as I can see it in the scriptures and in the Bible, the only thing that solves all the problems is the second coming of Christ. And that is the third reason that the creatures of the heavenly realm celebrate and worship God, because he has come from their perspective. He is coming from our perspective. And he will bring an end to all the things that we are experiencing in this world, to all the sufferings. Each one of us, as you wake up in the morning, we go through things that nobody can see, nobody can hear, nobody can feel, our inner life. We may all be dressed up nicely and smiling, but there'll be turmoil and storm in our minds and our hearts, and we're dealing with all kinds of feelings and emotions, pressure, stress, guilt, fear, worry, all kinds of things. All these things will not exist when we see the God who is to come, the one who is coming. Because in his kingdom, all these things that we live through and are part of our lives today, we cannot even imagine the world without these things and experiences. That will be the time when they all pass and come to an end. I think that's a good enough reason for us from our perspective, looking to the future, to worship God, because He's promised that soon enough, when He comes, all the things that we're experiencing now, that we're struggling with, will come to an end. And He will be our God again, and we'll see Him face to face, as the creatures of heaven see Him already. Because they are seated before the throne, they're bowed before the throne, and they worship Him. So these are the three reasons that we have in the book of Revelation. First-hand experience of the creatures who see God face to face, and they worship Him because of the God who was and who is and who is to come. Because He created, because He was the Lamb who was slain, because He is coming. I think as long as we remember these three things, we'll get the essence of the real, true thing and the message of the Bible. Everything else is the details. And if you can remember each day at least one of these things, but hopefully all three of the things, then in our experience, in our relationship with God, we have all the key ingredients to have a genuine, real reasons to celebrate God and worship God each day of our lives, as we walk along the journey to the point where we will see Him again.